Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right now, I believe on the hotline we have, talking about guys who have had success, someone who had a lot of success in the overnight hours and here on WFAN and is having success now entering the podcast world, one of the all-time greats. There's really no other way to introduce this man. Joe Beningo on the line. Joe, good morning. How you doing?
Fleeg, only for you. You know, 5:12 in the morning here on a Sunday morning, only for you. Good to see you. You're on the air now. Oh, my God.
Jeez. I know. Look at that, right? Did you imagine that when I came in the first time I worked on your show? You looked, I don't know if you probably won't remember this, but the first time I ever did your show, filling in for Dove, we had not met before, you know, because right. I'm working nights, I'm working weekends, right, I'm working overnights. Right. And you always start the show and you say who's on the, you know, you do your open, Ernie Acosta, some guy I don't know, they're on the other side of the glass. So that was,
You. You're a big deal and I appreciate you coming to the podcast the other night. Fleeg was there, at the Hackensack Brewing Company on Friday night, and I appreciate it. We had a good crowd there. It was good to see you, Fleeg.
It was good to see you. It was a good crowd. JJ was there with you, and I got to meet some legends. I met Joe and Clark, who I've talked to
a million times. Joe and Yonkers was there.
Sal and Yonkers, Artie in Brooklyn, storming in, and what a guy that. I mean, Joe and Clark, again, some guys are more toned down in person. Artie in Brooklyn, it looked like he was going to rush the stage and, like, jump you. He was so excited to be there, Artie in Brooklyn. But
Artie, another one of the greats. Jamal Adams jersey, he had me sign that. You know, the Jamal Adams jersey I once had is now went to Salvation Army. I just want to let you know.
You should have signed it AVT plus and then filled it in when we see what this next first-round pick comes into. That's what I think of when I think Jamal Adams. So, Jamal, thanks for, one, ripping the ball out of Daniel Jones' hand that one game against the Giants. I'll always love that play.
And then
turning into two first-round picks. That's what we can thank Jamal Adams for. But, Joe, I got to ask you last night because we talked Friday, yesterday. Right. We were both on the Raiders, so I want to get your thoughts on that game and how badly, you know, they mismanaged it at the end. But we have to start with could you have imagined if I told you, not that the Bills were going to win, but that the Bills were going to score more points against the Patriots than Bill Belichick has ever allowed in his coaching career? If I told you that yesterday, you would have said I was crazy, right?
Well, I tell you what, I the closer I got to this game, because I had picked the Patriots in my picks that I do every week with JJ, and the closer I got to this game, the more I started to think, you know what, I got a bad feeling they're going to get killed in this game, the Patriots. Look, New England, I think, Mac Jones got exposed over the last, you know, four or five games of the season. Mac Jones had the kind of year he had because of the coaching staff around him. If he was on a different team, he would not have had the kind of year he had. And, you know, last night, let's be honest, this game was over. And there's something else I want to get to here because we got to talk about Josh Allen here. But this game was over when Jones threw the pick in the end zone to Micah Hyde, who made a tremendous play on that.
Yeah, that wasn't a bad throw. And I'm with you. I think Mac Jones is a factor of Bill Belichick Nick Saban. If you put him in any of the situations these other rookie quarterbacks are dealing with, he would not have been good this year. Some of the other rookies would have been better. Like Trevor Lawrence would have been better in New England than Mac Jones was. The love for him is
a little overblown.
Zach Wilson
as well.
I feel confident enough right now to say as a Jets fan that Zach can and will absolutely have a bet. If he's developed the right way with the right coaching and the right players around him, his ceiling is as high as it was when the Jets drafted him. It's through the roof. It's higher than Mac Jones. Mac made a good throw on that interception. Hyde just made a better play.
Yeah.
And I was like you. As we got closer, I bet the Patriots because I'm never betting against Belichick. I bet the Patriots. The closer we got to the game, the more I thought the Bills would win. I just never thought that after Hyde made that interception, the game was over. I could have turned it off and taken a nap before I did the overnight. The Patriots were not competitive in this game.
Non-competitive. The only thing that they, the only, not that it's a knock, the only thing that was missing from this game is McDermott should have really ran the score up on him. McDermott should have went for as many points as possible because Bill would have did it to them and has done it to everybody over the years.
Let's he kind of did. Still, so I don't know if you saw this, Joe.
Kinda.
It's the first game in NFL history, not just postseason, any NFL game ever where a team had they scored a touchdown every drive and they had kneeled out the ball to end the half and the game. No punts, no field goal attempts, no turnovers. And it happened against Bill Belichick in the playoffs. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Let's be honest. Belichick had it coming. I wish it was our team that did it to him and not Buffalo. But let's be honest. Belichick had it coming. And something else. And nothing has really been made of this, but it's time for it to be made of now. And I'm sitting there last night watching Josh Allen. Let's be honest about this. Mike Maccagnan, okay, who has now, as we look back, was a terrible general manager, one of the biggest mistakes ever made. You know, I go back to, you know how far back I go with the Jets, 1965. And I always talk about 1983 when they, you know, took Ken O'Brien when they could have had Dan Marino. And I know all these other teams passed up on him, too, and I don't want to hear it. But, you know, some teams passed on up on him to get John Elway, like, you know, eventually Denver did. He was actually drafted by the Colts. And Jim Kelly goes to Buffalo. You know, I mean, look, the Jets passed up Marino for Ken O'Brien and set the franchise back for decades. Well, let's be honest about this. Mike Maccagnan taking Sam Darnold over Josh Allen, how big a mistake is that?
Oh, it's an all-timer.
It now,
although, I'll say this. If Josh Allen was here with that Jet regime, he's not the same quarterback. He's much better than Darnold ever was. I don't know if he reaches the heights that he did,
Let's
the Bills.
Be honest. The guy has unbelievable talent. That play he made on the first touchdown last night, where he gets out of the pressure, he gets out of the pocket, and he's holding the ball, he's going toward the sidelines, and then he makes that throw in the back of the end zone to the tight end.
It looked like he was throwing it away. It actually looked a lot like the first touchdown against the Jets last week. Same spot on the field.
And he's unstoppable running the ball. You can't mean it's unbelievable.
And one thing I love about him, Joe, the confidence. Like, it's something I saw with Joe Burrow, too. These guys are confident. Like, nothing scares them. And I love that. And it's something that we heard about Zach Wilson. I didn't really see it as much early in the year. But then later in the year, I want that kid as my quarterback who's so confident that he has all the talent to make every plays he believes in himself. And you're seeing it with the young kids now that are dominating this game. I mean, for the AFC, Burrow, Allen, Herbert, Mahomes, they're all here for a long time.
Yeah, there's no question about it. But this guy, Allen, is unreal. And one thing that they got to start doing with the Jets, and I've said this all year, you got to start having designed runs for Zach Wilson. I mean, I understand Zach Wilson isn't the physical specimen that Josh Allen is. I mean, I get that. But even with that said, you got to have some design runs for this kid. This kid could run the football. And we see how devastating a weapon Allen is running the ball. And like I said, I understand he's not the physical specimen, Wilson, that Allen is. But I got to see some of that because we know he can run.
Especially if he's not going to take off on it. I think maybe the Jets coaches thought he would take off more than he did when things kind of broke down. If he's not going to do that on his own, I'm with you. Have these designed run plays so when he's running in open space, then when he sees how he's successful doing that, he'll do it on his own when the play is kind of breaking down. Because he would stay around behind the line of scrimmage, try to make a play happen looking downfield. Sometimes I'm screaming at him, Zach, you've got 10 or 15 or more yards of open field in front of you. Just run.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, look, he had that great game against Jacksonville running the ball. He had that crazy 52-yard touchdown run where he got out of the pressure. There was a game earlier in the year, I think it was against the Eagles, where he took off and ran, but he got the first down, but then he went into a slide where he could have ran. He might have ran for a touchdown on a play if he didn't go into that slide.
Yeah, I think it was like 18 yards. He could have ran for a touchdown.
Yep.
I wondered if that play, that was him still not being, because Saleh had mentioned it the week before that they didn't think he was 100% confident in his knee, and they were trying to tell him to believe in it more and more. I wonder if that was it. But listen, whether it's Wilson, whether it's the Jets have so much to do this offseason. The one good news is they finally have the resources to do it. They have to nail the draft, nail the free agency. One thing I have to tell you, because this magnifies, you talk about how now we really know, we see the full picture, how bad McCagnan was as the GM.
Terrible.
I've been mocking, and last week when I did my show, I came up with the numbers of the Jets drafted between 2013 and 19, the Idzik and McCagnan
disaster.
Years. Fewest games played in the NFL, fewest games started, not just for the Jets, but for any other team, because it's not like they drafted a lot of guys who then went off and had success for other teams. There's not one guy drafted by either of those two GMs who, this should be the core of the NFL right now, especially the McCagnan years, in 5 years, who's playing for a team on Wild Card Weekend.
Unbelievable. I mean, really, just an absolute disaster when you look back at the Mike McCagnan drafts. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. And again, you look at it now, and we know, nobody really talks about it, but passing up Allen to take Sam Darnold was a disaster.
It's funny because it's both teams now, because we always said about the Giants, people said, oh, well, even if you don't like the Saquon pick, what were they going to do, take Darnold? Listen, both teams right there should have taken Josh Allen. And I'll give them credit, because at the time, I watch a lot of college football. I wasn't very high on Josh Allen.
Did you see Wyoming? Did you see a lot of Wyoming?
Well, I watched a couple games with them, and they had the bowl game. Like, I just saw this kid, and then you watch the tape, how inaccurate he was. And, Joe, you know this. You've been watching football for a long time. There's so many things that you can teach these kids when they're coming out of college. Accuracy is usually not one of them. That's something that I'll give the Bills credit. They turned Josh Allen into an accurate quarterback, and it's what Brian Daboll is going to get one of these jobs, whether it's the Giants or the Dolphins because he knows Tua or one of these other teams. He's going to get a job, and he deserves one. I know you and I were kind of interested in him last year. I think we both wanted Saleh. Let's hope and pray that we weren't as wrong as it looks like we might be.
A lot of hoping and a lot of praying,
But, Dable's one of those guys that he looks like he's a hot candidate right now. The Giants could do a lot worse than hiring Joe Shane and Brian Daboll from the Bills. I have to ask you, from the first game, the Raiders and the Bengals, where did you stand watching that game? Like, did you hear the whistle on the touchdown to Boyd?
Oh, my God.
How about the 2 or 3 minute conference where they're talking about a play and the result is we're giving the Raiders a timeout before the play and the roughing the passer never happened?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're 100% right. But let's be honest about this game, watching this Raider game yesterday. The story of this game to me is Raider mistakes. I mean, we could go right on down the line. First drive, they're walking right down the field. They had a 2nd and 1. Darren Waller gets called for a false start. They wind up having to settle for a field goal. Then you had that situation. Okay, you had the fumble where Carr got that strip sack. They wound up actually, the Raiders only held them to a field goal at that point. But how about the play with Peyton Barber on
the kickoff? That was so
bad. What is
and
he
it's
doing?
So bad
the ball's
because
going
almost
out of bounds, bro. The ball's going out of bounds. He picks the ball up and goes out on the 2 yard line.
Well, the problems there. One, the ball, I think, was going out of bounds anyway. And two, it looked like he got confused by the rule because he touched it and intentionally stepped out of bounds. He needed to step out of bounds first and then touch the ball. He cost him 38 yards of field position. The stuff that the Raiders did in this game, they still have the chance. Their second-to-last drive, when they get it to 2nd and 3 with 3:47 left, can you hand the ball to Josh Jacobs with that depleted defensive line and try to score the touchdown that way? And then on 3rd and 3,
how is Hunter Renfrow not on the field? Well, how about the drive when they had 3 holding penalties by 3 different guys? That killed them, too. They overcame the first two. They overcame the first 2 holding penalties on that drive. And then they got the last one. Jacobs ran the ball
to the one-yard line. And that one was bad because it was holding. They showed the replay, but Jacobs was already past the play when it happened. Listen, the Raiders' offensive line didn't do a good job. Leatherwood, their first-round pick last year, who shouldn't have been a first-round pick.
Yeah, they had a play where he was downfield. Remember, they had that play where he was an illegal man.
Right, ineligible downfield.
As well.
That's why I have to give credit. As badly as they messed up some points in this game, Bisaccia, what he did getting this team to the playoffs with everything they faced and the fact that most people around the NFL didn't love the decisions that Gruden and Mayock made with the roster, to get them into the playoffs was an achievement. But at the end of the game, again, how is Hunter Renfrow not on the field on 3rd and 3? And then the play we've been talking about all night, we've gotten calls on it, the spike. There's 29 seconds left. You don't need to spike the ball. You're at the 9-yard line.
Yeah, you didn't
take
need
4
to.
Shots. You took
well,
a play out.
Well, let me say this, too. Don't you think that on that one play on that drive, I think it was the 3rd down play, that Renfrow, there was pass interference on Renfrow in the end zone?
I thought so live. When they showed the replay, it looked more like he tripped. There was incidental contact. Well, but then again, how about 4th down? Zay Jones runs to the 2 yard line or the 1 yard line and turns around. And it's throwing a double coverage anyway. It's intercepted. But how about you run it to the end zone, then turn around?
Yeah. No, look, the Raiders, look, Cincinnati, Joe Burrow's tremendous. Jamar Chase is tremendous. There's no doubt about it. They're a team on the rise. They're probably not going to win their next game. We'll see. But this is a game that I look at it, and I'm sitting there. I was on the Raiders, too, with you and a lot of people. I think you had the Raiders in that game.
I did.
And, you know, to me, this was a game the Raiders handed them. I mean, the rate of mistakes were the story of this football game. I mean, more than anything else. And the play where, you know, the touchdown where Burrow looks like he's going out of bounds and he hits the guy in the back of the end zone for the touchdown. I mean, let's be honest, the whistle blew. That play, even who was the referee?
It's Jerome Boger's crew, and I have to ask you.
It was Boger's crew, but who was the referee that was doing the game on TV?
Oh, Terry McCauley. Yeah, he had it right.
He said the rule is the play should have been dead. Right? He did say that.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder how they had the conference on the other play, but they don't realize that. And I don't know if you saw old buddy Walt Anderson, who's now the VP of officiating.
Right.
Did you see what he said after the game?
What'd he say? No.
They did the statement in the talking with the pool reporter. He said it was their determination that the whistle blew after the play was over.
Yeah, well, not when you saw the replay, clearly the whistle's blowing.
We all saw and heard otherwise.
Right.
Yeah, so that was bad. But, the Bengals, you thought early in this game, Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase, they were going to be the story. The Raiders kept them in the game. But I'll tell you, and going back to our team, we don't have a ton of time left. Our team, you and I were talking about this the other day. I want weapons. I want, the Bengals asked Joe Burrow if they wanted him to draft Chase or Sewell and shore up the offensive line. And he said, go get me Chase. Now, he played with him, so that might have factored into it. But I want, like, Josh Allen has Diggs and Burrow has Chase. I want as many weapons on the field for young Zach Wilson as the Jets can get. And if that means Moore and Berrios and Davis and a tight end and another receiver are all playing, then I want that, whether it's in the draft or free agency. Well, go get me a tight end and go get me one other wide receiver.
Well, let me just say this, because you mentioned Berrios. The Jets better freaking sign this guy. Let me tell you right now that to me, Joe Douglas, the number one, they got all this money under the cap. You better bring this guy back. This guy made all-pro as a kick returner. He's a terrific all-around player. And I don't want to hear that you got a certain price. You know, go over what you want to pay him to keep this guy here. This guy is the kind of guy that you talk about that stupid word culture all the time. Well, this guy's a winning player. This is the kind of guy you want on a team that can win championships. They better freaking keep him, because if they don't, he's going to wind up playing for Belichick in New England, and he'll be the new Julian Edelman catching 90 passes a year.
Edelman, Welker, and listen, Belichick drafted him, didn't want to cut him. He had to expose him to waivers when they had a roster crunch a couple years ago. I'll give credit to Douglas and the Jets for claiming him. What Berrios became in the end of this season, a lot of times I'll say where you have your value on your guy, you don't really go over. You know who you do go over for, though? You go over for your own guys. Berrios is in your system.
Yep.
What Mike LaFleur unlocked with him, what he knows he can do with him.
No question.
They have to bring him back. There's no number that you can tell me that he's asking for that he's even going to get from somebody else that I'll say it's okay, the Jets let him go at. And I'm usually not like that with players. But with Berrios, I think he's too important.
They signed John Franklin Myers. I didn't get that in the middle of the year. I mean, that made no sense to me. I mean, he's okay. I mean, they couldn't wait to sign him like he was, Deacon Jones or Bruce Smith. They better freaking sign Berrios. And you know what I said too. You know how I feel about the draft. Okay, I understand weapons, but to me, the fourth pick in the draft's got to be the best defensive player on the board, and no safeties. Don't give me any more safeties. I don't want.
Right,
you
that's
want
tough because Notre Dame's Kyle Marcus Hamilton might be the best player, but I can't do the safety again. I'll take an end, or I'll take a cornerback, or one of the linebackers. I'll take somebody who just plays a more important position.
No question. And I want this center from Iowa. I understand weapons. But I look at the Jets and I see this offensive line. This offensive line was pretty good. They got a chance to have a terrific offensive line. George Fant is a real good player. Vera Tucker turned out to be a terrific pick with the second number one last year. They had the two number ones. He's terrific. The guy they got from Kansas City, I would sign him too. And I would even sign Morgan Moses back to have depth on that line, because who the hell knows about Mekhi Becton? you know, he's basically eating himself out of the league. I don't know. Are we going to see this guy play? What's the deal with him?
Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder if Moses thinks he can get a multi-year deal starting with another team. Remember, Washington cut him late in the offseason.
Right.
He was in a tough spot, and he played well. But I would be okay with that. What's going to be interesting to me is how do they handle free agency? Because we know if they sign a tight end or they draft or they sign a wide receiver, whatever they sign, we could get an idea of where they're looking.
Well, how about
in the draft?
Mike Gesicki? How about my signing?
I'll give you another name. How about Dalton Schultz if the Cowboys let him go?
Yeah, him too. Him too. I like Gesicki. He's killed us for years.
I'm a Penn State guy, as you know. Gesicki was there. He was great when we flew back from the Big Ten championship game the year Penn State won. My dad sat next to Gesicki's parents on the flight and was talking to his dad the whole time, and there were all the rumors he was coming to the draft, and he told him, no, he's staying. He's loyal to school. He wants to finish his 4 years. I've heard some stuff about him and the family over the years. Yeah, that's a kid. We talk about, again, culture. That's a kid you want playing for your team, and he's a local kid, so bring him home.
Right. I wouldn't go crazy, though, in free agency. They got Carl Lawson coming back. And let's be honest about this. I don't even know who knows what he is. I mean, you know, missed a year already. I understand he was good in Cincinnati, but I got to see him with our team. You know, there's been the Jets have had a lot of big misses with free agency over the years. I mean, I think a Le'Veon Bell. I mean, even C.J. Mosley. Let's be honest. I mean, that say whatever you want about the year Mosley had this year. That contract, it turns out to be a terrible contract.
Right. Good player, but not worth nearly close to the money that they got from it.
And
thankfully,
how about even Corey Davis, bro? Corey Davis, they gave him.
That was disappointing.
Now, he's a nice player, $32.5 million, but he missed the last 8 games of the year. Not even talking about the drops or that fumble he had in the first Buffalo game. So don't go crazy in free agency. Sign the guys on our team that we need, starting obviously with Berrios. You got Lawson coming back. You got to hit it on the draft, bro. You got to hit this. You got.
Oh, listen, that's where the good teams make their 40. Bones. I agree. Don't go crazy in free agency. I would like bring in a couple of veterans. You know, the 3-year deals,
guys.
Nothing absurd.
Couple.
Like again, if I talk about receivers, you don't want to draft one. Maybe you go give a guy like Allen Robinson, who catches everything near him, a 3-year deal where you don't have to go crazy. Mm. And one thing about the free agency, it's funny. We looking back now, we would have said Joe Douglas's 2020 free agency class was a bust after the first year. But after they got away from Adam Gase and after Greg Van Roten was sat at right guard, all of a sudden McGovern and George Fant all year, but yeah. McGovern once DuVernay-Tardif was playing next to him, they looked like really good
better.
Players.
So McGovern got hurt late.
To stabilize some positions in free agency, because again, they entered 2019 and 2020 in such a hole. They had to replace the whole roster. Even if you hit on all the draft picks, you're not doing that. So go get us some guys in free agency. The only guy I would break the bank for if he becomes available, maybe J.C. Jackson from the Patriots at corner.
Maybe. Yep.
And even then, that's a maybe. The rest, again, go get some solid, like a George Fant was or a Connor McGovern was. The second tier free agents, fill the roster a little bit that way, and then go nail the draft. And we'll know pretty quickly if they nail. They say you need a couple years, but we'll know with what the Jets need to do next year. We'll know if they nailed it because they need at least 4, if not all 5 of the top 5 picks in the first 2, 3, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd rounds to be day 1 starters.
Every one of them. Every one of those guys got to be playing and contributing. And, you know, that draft has to hit this draft, Joe Douglas, because I'll tell you right now, you and I have talked about it. You know, you're not selling me 6-11, 7-10 next year and telling me we made progress. I don't want to hear that nonsense.
Yeah, I won't do that. Your number's 9, mine's 8.
Season league, 9-8 minimum next year. I'm sorry. They got to have a freaking winning season next year.
I'm hoping for that. I can live with 8 if they double their win total. But listen, I want 9, and I want, if not in the playoffs, then you lose on a tiebreaker week 8. You're right in that mix. One last question or two before we let you go. One, you agree the Giants did the right thing firing Joe Judge, right?
No question. You have to. You know, you have to get rid of Judge because you can't make the mistake of bringing in the GM when you got a ready-made coach in there. We saw what happened with the Jets when they fired. One of the biggest mistakes that Woody Johnson has made as owner, besides buying the team, that was the biggest mistake. He bought the team. The second biggest mistake he made was firing Mike Tannenbaum and then bringing in Idzik with Rex already there. And we saw what a disaster that is. So, the Giants made the right move. You got to get your GM and let the GM hire his coach.
I agree with that. If Harbaugh wanted the job, Jim Harbaugh, if he wanted to leave Michigan and wanted the job, would you bring him in and let him have a say in the GM only because he's had success in the league before?
If you're bringing Harbaugh, doesn't he have to run the whole show? I mean, I would think Harbaugh wouldn't even come there without running the whole show.
I'm saying, would you let him break the mold? And again, maybe he's not making the decisions, but he's picking the GM who's, you know, the guy is doing all the day-to-day work but is really listening to him on big decisions. Would you break the mold and the protocol of GM first, then coach for a guy like Harbaugh? Or do you say, no, just stick with GM first, then a coach, no matter what?
Well, first of all, I think Harbaugh, if he goes anywhere, I don't think he's leaving Michigan, but if he goes anywhere, I think he's going to the Dolphins. You know, Stephen Ross is a Michigan guy. I know he's liked Harbaugh for a long time. I thought the Dolphins made a monster mistake by getting rid of Brian Flores, who to me is one of the best coaches in the NFL. You know, he's going to get a job somewhere, maybe the Bears, wherever he's going to wind up. If I was the Giants, if the Giants had a GM in place, you know, maybe, you know, I would jump on Flores. I love him. I think he's a terrific coach. I think he, I don't know, I guess you would do that for Harbaugh, but I don't see that happening with the Giants. I don't see it.
I don't see it either. The team I would watch with Harbaugh, the Raiders. Joe.
Yeah, you don't see, to me, the Raiders, you're going to hose this Passaccia? This guy,
I would only do it for Harbaugh. I wouldn't do it and go through a regular search. If Harbaugh wanted the job, I would give it to him. Man, that's the only guy I would do it for.
I think he goes to Miami, but I think if he goes anywhere, but I think he stays.
I hope not, because I don't need him in the division
too. Well, no, I understand that, but I think that's, of course, but that's where, you know, that's where I think he's going to wind up.
Joe, I can't thank you enough for getting up and calling the show this early in the morning.
Now, when's your next show? What's your next show? You gonna?
I don't know. They only do them like, you know, every 10 days in advance here.
7 in the afternoon, anytime soon.
I mean, I don't know about. Listen, your old partner's filling that time slot, so that nothing. Nothing open there. I don't know. We only do the shows like a week or two ahead of time in the schedule now. So hopefully soon. And listen, maybe one day if we're talking in the springtime, maybe there will be Knicks playoffs or Mets baseball. Let's pray to God that we get to see baseball games this year. And you and I can chat again then.
You know, nothing's happening with the labor thing until it's going to start affecting games. You know that.
Oh, well, listen, we all hate that, but we all know it. Joe, can't thank you enough. All the love. Thank you again for calling in. Great to see you the other night, and I'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, Fleeg. Enjoy the games today. All the love, baby.
Yes, let's enjoy the games. You can check Joe out, his Oh the Pain podcast. Be sure to check that out. It's Joe. If you listen to The Fan for all those years, you know exactly what you're getting. It's Joe, especially after a Jets loss, if you're a Jets fan, as painful as they are. I mean, Joe's the guy that I've been turning to Joe after Jets losses since I was in high school. That's how long. I didn't want to say it with Joe on the air, make him, you know, feel a certain way, but that's how long I go back listening to Joe after a tough Jets loss, and he's been great to me ever since I got here at The Fan. Everybody has, but awesome to hear from Joe just now. On a Sunday morning, he calls in at 5:12. Gotta love him.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.